You're listening to Valley Edition. I'm Joe Moore. The San Joaquin Valley has a rich boxing tradition dating back generations. Before he ran a popular bar in downtown Fresno, young Corbett III was the world welterweight champion in the 1930s. And even today, Avenal's Jose Ramirez is one of the sport's rising stars. But at a gym in southeast Fresno, there's one local teen who hopes to go on to international fame in the sport. And it turns out she's not alone. Increasingly, Central Valley girls are dominating the teen boxing ranks nationally. Here to tell us more is journalist Megan Greenwell, who just profiled Turlock's Sandra Tovar and another Fresno area boxer in the most recent edition of the California Sunday magazine. Megan, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
So aside from the Tokyo dreams of Sandra Tovar, she is already a young star in her sport. Tell us a little more about what makes her so special and what she's accomplished.
Yeah, so Sandra got into boxing because her dad is a longtime boxing coach in the Central Valley, both in Turlock and at a gym in Merced. And she got into it when she was about seven. And since then, she's become the number one ranked boxer in her age and weight class in the country. She's 110 pounds and 15 years old. She'll make the cutoff to qualify for the Tokyo Olympics by one day. And I've watched her box in Fresno, and she's just a really special talent. She's very tall for a 110-pound boxer, so her reach is much longer than most of the kids she fights against. And you can see her just sort of tower above somebody. I watched her fight this boy who was the same weight exactly, but significantly shorter, and she was just literally punching down at him just repeatedly. And she's very light on her feet. She loves to run, which is actually pretty rare for a boxer. She's on her high school cross-country team at Turlock High. So you can watch her finish a three-round match, and she just never, ever gets tired. So she's really quite a talent.
Your article is not just a profile of one boxer. You're talking about an emerging trend here that is in the Central Valley, where some of the best boxers coming out of this area are girls, are women. Why are people saying this is emerging here?
Yeah, so I got interested in this story just because I was going down the national rankings of junior girl boxers, actually for a completely unrelated story. And I just kept noticing all these town names from the Central Valley. You know, you would go down the list and it would be like, the number one is from Merced, and the number two is from Fresno, and the number eight is from Turlock or whatever. And I just sort of went, huh, I wonder why that is. And when I started digging into it, you know, it makes some sense. The boxing tradition, as you mentioned, in the Central Valley goes back so far, and goes back in California generally and so far. There are entire books written about the history of boxing in California generally. And boxing has become very dominated by Latinos in general. And so in the Central Valley, it's very much a Mexican-American tradition. And all of the girls in the national rankings right now who are from the area, they're all Latina. And almost all of them got into it because they already had some male family or friend that was involved. And so as Frank Alamon, who runs the regional boxing association and also has his own gym in Fresno, put it to me, you know, success begets success. So if you have good male fighters, you're going to end up with good female fighters too. And it didn't start to happen until about 2008. That tradition of female boxers does not go back very far. But once it started, you know, the Central Valley girls just kind of started dominating, and it's increased and increased over time.
So back to Sandra, she comes to Fresno twice a week down Highway 99 to train all the way from Turlock. Tell us a little more about that.
So she actually trains with a guy named Marcos Padilla. She trains at a boxing gym called Dethrone Boxing Gym, where they have a coach. Everybody calls him Marquitos because he's a tiny little guy. And he's become a really prominent trainer in the Fresno area. And Sandra was training with her dad in Turlock. And Fresno is a pretty long way to go for a 16-year-old who's spending all day in school. But they decided she needed some more exposure to like top level coaching talent, but also top level, you know, kids who are also competing at the national level. And there are a lot more of those in Fresno than in Turlock. So she started commuting down like twice a week now to get that sort of exposure.
So you talked to her father, Jeff. How does he feel about his daughter following in his footsteps in boxing? Is this something that he has encouraged, or is this something that he has some misgivings about? Did he say anything about that, given what we know about the emerging science of brain research and things like CTE? Did that ever come up as a potential issue?
You know, I think he's clearly a great dad, and I think as such, he worries about his kid. He never pushed boxing on Sandra at all, even though he had been involved since the time he was a kid. He also grew up in Turlock. But when Sandra first took it up, and the only reason she took it up was because she wanted to quit her after-school program, and her mom was working full-time, and her dad was working shifts as a maintenance supervisor for the school district, but then was coaching after school. And he said, like, look, you can quit this after school program, but literally the only option we have for childcare is for you to start coming to the gym. And she said, well, okay, I'll start coming and I'll like do the running workouts and stuff like that, but I just don't want to get hit. And he said, okay, that's fine. You know, you can do everything but the fighting. And then she pretty quickly developed a taste for it and was like, well, I actually kind of want to do this after all. And he realized pretty immediately that she was some sort of special talent. He, like I say, he never really pushed it on her, but he could see, you know, she has this right jab that's just so powerful. And the way he describes it, it was so powerful even when she was a pretty little kid. And she just had a taste for it, too. She just was really, really enthusiastic about it. So he's always allowed her to do the driving. And, you know, he's very careful about not forcing too much on her. But she's really driven. She's an uncommonly driven kid in general. And once she realized that she could be, you know, competitive on the national and the international level, there was nothing that was going to stop her.
Now, I want to go back to something you mentioned just a moment ago, in that Sandra was sparring against a boy of the same weight class. Is this a co-ed sport at this level? Now, she has her eyes set on Tokyo Olympics, and women's boxing is now an official sport there. How does it work in this amateur level?
So in competition, no matter what level it's happening, whether it's just a little local tournament or on the international level, you only fight against members of your same gender. So formally, she only competes against other girls. There still are many fewer girls competing, even in the Central Valley, than there are boys. And particularly, you know, at the level that Sandra is at, you can't throw her in the ring with any 110-pound kid because they're just not going to be able to keep up with her at all. So she does a lot of her sparring against boys. And she also trains against girls who are heavier than she is because she's on the lighter side of things for a 15-year-old. So America Berber, who's the other girl profiled in my story, she's a 125-pound boxer, and she and Sandra actually spar against each other because, like, you know, that's sort of what you need to do to get that level of training. And they both get something out of it because America is used to fighting people who are a little bit bigger and thus a little bit slower. And so Sandra's speed is really useful for her. And meanwhile, Sandra gets to go up against somebody who hits significantly harder than most 110-pounders.
So we hear that Sandra has her sights set on Tokyo in 2020. She will just qualify for that by one day with her birth date requirement. But what does America have in her future? It sounds like she has a little bit different course forward from your article.
Yeah, so America also takes the sport incredibly seriously. Though both girls are 15, they're actually 9 months apart. So America will be too young to qualify for Tokyo. So she's thinking about potentially the 2024 Olympics. But, you know, she's also not totally sure what her future in the sport is in the same way that Sandra is. In boxing, you can pursue the amateur path and go to the Olympics. You can also go straight pro and never compete at the Olympic level at all. And America is open to both of those paths. She takes school really, really seriously. She's a freshman this year. And she is not sure how she can balance boxing with going to college. So the national championships are this week in Salt Lake City. Sandra is there. America is not there because her parents were not comfortable with her missing that much school. And, you know, the financial realities of this sport are also incredibly intense for kids who don't come from super affluent backgrounds. And there are efforts to raise money, but it can't cover everybody. And so I think America, you know, like I say, she's 9 months younger. I think she's still kind of trying to figure out everything a little bit more than Sandra is, being almost a full year older. But talent-wise, she certainly has the ability to compete on that level as well. She's been second in the last 2 years Junior Olympics. And she's ranked third in her weight class right now. So if she decides she wants to keep at it at that level, she can absolutely do it.
We've been talking with journalist Megan Greenwell, who just wrote this piece in the California Sunday Magazine about how female teen boxers in the Central Valley are dominating their sport. And you can find it online as well in California Sunday Magazine. Megan, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.